This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome back, listeners. You know, here at Indie Comic Book Noise Incorporated, we like to spice it up a little. So we're doing one of our patented point episodes, a little teaser before the big 500. And joining me today on this amuse-bouche of podcasts is Phil up in Ottawa. Hey, Phil, say hi.
Hello.
And it's just Phil and I, two-hander, Phil and
yeah,
I.
The other two quit.
Andrew the Alley Rabbit. Well, I like to think, Phil, that they're working on really killer segments for 500. Yeah. So the pressure's on them. The pressure's off us. Like, they're the ones that'll have to do it. But, yeah, you know, Steve and Kevin hopefully will be joining us for 500. They've promised the moon and the stars.
That's good, because I'm going to use all my material for 500 now. That's classic build. Then I'll be unprepared.
Well, we're going to keep this one, like I said, just a light little thing to whet your appetite for the big 500. Let me get our disclaimers quickly out of the way. Indie Comic Book Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. Go ahead and check out that for other great shows. As you heard from the beginning of the show, we do have a disclaimer for any bad language. Sometimes we get excited and say bad words or talk about adult themes. We also have a Twitter account, Indie Comic Book N. We have a Facebook fan page, and we also have a website where you can find old episodes.
I don't know if we should call it a fan page.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook, so I have no. I don't know if that thing's been ever updated or anything, but I am on Twitter, so I do interact with the show there.
Yeah, I'm assuming Kevin doesn't do anything with the Facebook anymore.
But you can find show notes and old episodes at IndieComicBookNoise.com. We're just going to have a nice little chit-chat, Phil and I, with things. It's been interesting. We talk about all things, adaptations, anything we want. I haven't watched it yet, Phil, but I have it queued up that The Boys on Amazon is doing a little animated little prequel. Yeah.
But I didn't even know that.
So I haven't watched it yet. I know it's dropped, but I got that that I'm savoring for. Yeah, I think they're real short episodes.
Yeah. And what are they covering in it? Like, what part of the prequel?
I don't even know. It's called The Boys Presents Diabolical. And I've kind of not been, you know, like, I'm going to watch it, so I'm not interested in getting spoiled, but I think it's going to be fun, you know? I really like the show, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
The live-action show. But it's supposed to have, you know, it looks like it's a fun, like I said, I'm kind of, they got my money, as the joke goes, but it's got, you know, a lot of the name voice actors you've seen and everything, and, you know, The Boys is fun, and I like cartoons, so, yeah, just look out for it. It did already dropped, I think, all the episodes, but maybe they're doing it week to week. I can't remember. I usually wait. Even if it's all the episodes, I wait. Like, we're going to start Peacemaker today, I think.
So, I'm so excited for that show.
Yeah, we wanted to let all the episodes finish up before we jump into it.
Two buy in right away once they're available is Peacemaker and the Chucky TV show.
And following our tradition of Indie Comic Book Noise not discussing DC or Marvel, Phil, I did it. I signed up for the DC digital comic service.
Oh, yeah. Is it any good? I didn't even know it existed.
The portal is okay. I'm really used to the Marvel one. Mm-hmm. So it's a little, I think my cheap bootleg tablet's a little funky too, so you know how that is.
Do they have like a lot of the old stuff?
They have a mix. Like, there were a few titles I looked for that weren't on there right away. Like, you know, I don't really need, you know, the Arkham Asylum or whatever. I want more the kind of rare hits, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Justice
League or things like that, you know?
Yeah, so I was looking for some of the rare stuff that had short runs that I was interested in, and I struck out on all of them. So I started reading some of the Rebirth stuff, because I think they're 6 months behind or something like that. So I read some the new Mr. Miracle, the black guy that's Mr. Miracle. Yeah. I read that. I read some Teen Titans. It was okay. I'm not as in love with that interface. I'm sure I'll grow to love it, but it was just, you know, getting used to something new.
Yeah. The Rebirth stuff wasn't that great, though, so.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like, it's where DC's at now, right? Like, that's the new era. Because they have it split, like, Golden Age, Silver, Bronze, Modern, New 52, and then Rebirth.
Yeah, like, I'd probably mostly be reading the stuff before New 52.
Well, like I said, I tried all this kind of modern, late Bronze Age, you know, those little runs that were fun that people talk about, and I'm like, oh, I want to see that. Because I was listening to an interview with Mark Evanier, and he wrote Blackhawks for a while.
Oh, cool, yeah.
And, oh.
Like the New 52 Blackhawks?
No. This is before. This is in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And he had, oh, I'll put it in the show notes. But the artist was someone I was like, oh, I want to see that. But it only lasted a couple years, and I couldn't find any of those on there. Because, you know, that's where I'm kind of curious is that 80s stuff. Because I was reading DC, but it was like all the basic, you know, your Batman, your Batman and the Outsiders, your Detective Comics. You know, I wasn't like a sophisticated guy.
DC, yeah. And I don't usually do the Batman stuff. Me, it's all the smaller heroes and stuff I love.
So I was like, oh, I'll brush up on all those little titles from the 80s that I never read. Well, no, I won't.
No, that sucks.
Well, at least the ones I picked. I mean, it's something to have.
Maybe they're adding still, you know?
Yeah, I think at one point they were kind of rotating what they put on there. I don't know if that's still the case, but they were running a sale for 50% off for a one-year subscription. So it was like $35 or something. And I'm like, you know what? I'll roll the dice if I find myself not doing. I should get a new tablet. I don't know. I like my tablet. It just seems to fight with all these services all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think if you read comics on your tablet, it's worth investing in one that you're happy with.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing I have it for. I mean, I don't. Same. I stare at computers all day. I just wanted something to read digital comics on.
The other day I was using the first iPad just because I had some old comics on there, and so I figured I'll use it. And I forgot how it was awesome because it was the proper size.
Yeah.
For a comic page, you know?
That's one I bought, even though it's a weird one, is because it was the biggest one I could find. It wasn't like $1 million. Because I want that big screen.
It's fine on the smaller ones. But yeah, now I use an Air, and it's fine on that, but I like when it's the proper size for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to read. I don't read comics on my phone. You know what? I don't understand that. But I really am trying to get digital because I'm drowning in paper, Phil.
Me too. I'm the same way. I think we just have to give up.
I have some bad news for you on that. Well, I've been good not going to the store. I went to a different store and they had a quarter box, Phil.
Oh, I love, I miss quarter boxes. I never see those anymore.
I never see them up here, too. So, mostly, it was Marvel garbage, but I got three indie books.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, you'll never, these are so obscure, you're never going to get them. But I think you're going to get a kick out of them, Phil. Mm-hmm. I saw this, I had to get The Comic That Brought Down a Company, the title.
Mm-hmm.
I got Warriors of Plasm #3 from Defiant Comics.
I have that.
I have never read any Defiant comics, but I was like, wait, this is the book they got sued over? I got to read that.
I have all the Plasma stuff.
So I picked that up, and then, now these are beat to hell, but I got a couple of reprint books from a popular title that was in the newspaper, in the radio, and on movies, Phil. And I've talked about this property before.
Shadow?
It's Blondie.
I didn't know Blondie well, just from you talking about it.
Yeah, back in the 40s, they reprinted the strips.
Mm-hmm.
So these are kind of interesting because they're that bigger. They're 10-cent Golden Age from like 45 or 46. So they had two issues, 43 and 47, which was the last one. And they're literally just, the inside cover is a little biography of Chick Young, the creator. and the only other ad is on the back page and back inside cover. And the rest of it are just four-panel color reprints of the comic strip. That's it. So there's two per page, and they're four-panel gag strips. And it's just interesting. Like, Dagwood, at this point, Cookie, the daughter, is a baby. And goes into crib, and the son, Alexander, is, like, in short pants and going to, like, second grade or whatever. So it's just funny to, like, there's otherwise, there's no real continuity except the kids grow up. Oh, and the dog has a bunch of little puppies.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, come on, a 10-cent book from the 40s for a quarter? I don't care that it's all ripped up. And I mean, it's complete, but like the cover's kind of separated and all that. But I love comics from the 40s. I only have a few. And for 25 cents,
I do too. I almost bought a lot. Like, I've been looking at lots on eBay sometimes of those, and but usually the ones I want, they're just a little too much. But
yeah, so it's funny. Some of the strips are like talking about rationing during World War II and everything.
Yeah.
But I did appreciate that the biography on the inside cover is slightly different. Like, his obviously where he went to school and all that stuff's the same, but they put little different facts in and everything, so they don't just reprint the same thing. But I thought it was cool that there was, you know, two ads in the book, the back cover and the inside back cover. That's it.
No,
you really got your money's worth. I mean, they were,
I know,
reprinted.
You don't like them, but I do like house ads.
And nowadays I like the old ads. Yeah. But I just thought, man, a kid for a dime got a pretty good deal back in whenever. I mean, I don't know what a dime bought you, but yeah, they claim it was, in newspapers, got by over 35 million people. I'm like, wow. So many people read this. I mean, the only character that's changed the most, I would say, is his wife. She is crazy skinny. And while she still has a really tiny waist now, they've given her a bigger boobs and butt in the modern era. So, because they still run Blondie in my newspaper.
Yeah, I know Blondie now. Yeah, okay. I know
It's Dagwood and the sandwiches and... Yeah. He's always getting in trouble with the boss.
I never read it. I was never, like, I guess I'm sure I did in the newspaper a few times, but I was never a fan of that one because I was too young when I was reading the strips then.
But I've been blabbing my brains off, Phil. I'm going to let you get a word in edgewise here.
Well, guess how many board games I've gotten in the last 2 weeks?
One.
12. And probably about 12 expansions for them, too. So I've been rereading a lot of comics, let's say.
Phil, that's a lot of board games.
Yeah, I have a bad addiction.
Are these mostly...
There is this one...
Are they Kickstarters or like you buy them from companies?
I do have a lot of Kickstarters, but these ones were not. These were ones that I bought from either straight from the company or stores. But I got like 20 or more Kickstarters coming. Oh, it's bad. One of them I've spent $600.
So when these show up, you obviously unbox them. I mean, do you do a playthrough or do you just look at them? What do you do?
My favorite thing is unboxing them and organizing them and that. But I get every game I buy, I can play solo. So that way they hit the table all the time.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. I love that. Cooperative games.
Yeah. So I have a huge backlog, but yeah, they do hit the table a lot.
Nice, nice.
But I have tons, like I haven't played yet. But so there's this comic that I was super excited for because I loved the cover. So hyped to read it. But then you did a review on it and got me not to read it because you hated it so much. And then you decided to torture me and send me them.
I wouldn't say it's a terrible, like, it just was, it just didn't hook me. It's not like it's the worst.
I say torture because you made me hate them without even reading them and sent them to me. But then I'll tell you right now, I actually like them.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it would be up your, I mean, I wouldn't send it to you if I thought you were going to be like, ugh. But I'm like, I think it's horror. Like, you like this. Like, I thought. I don't think they're bad comics.
You should say
it wasn't for me.
Bunny Mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bunny Mask. We're talking about by Paul Tobin and Andrea Muti, is it?
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. But yeah, I thought, like, the art's good. It just,
the art's great. It's perfect for this type of story, yeah.
Yeah, it just didn't hook me, but I didn't think it was bad. And I was like, I think, Phil, this is in your wheelhouse, so pop it in the mail, and the U.S. mail will get it there in 8 years or something.
I've only read an issue and a half, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. But the thing is, it's one of those stories where there's some sick stuff that happens in it, so it's kind of one of those stories where I'll probably only read once. Because, like, in the first page, you see this dad knocking out his daughter's teeth. Like, yeah. There's some stuff like that, which is a little crazy.
Yeah, and then when you got to the time jump, right, and everything, and yeah, it's a weird, I just felt, I don't know, the pacing, I think, was what kind of got me, maybe. I think that was my big beef with it, but yeah, I'm glad.
Changed when I read the other issues, but the first issue I thought was really, I really got me into it. Like, I wanted to read more after that.
I mean, I liked it enough to buy however many issues I sent you, so.
I think it was four, or is it five? I think it's a five-issue series, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think then they took a break and are supposed to, I think it's restarted again, and I think they're on that model.
And then another one I read was one of my favorite titles from when we've been doing this podcast is, if you remember, Nailbiter.
Yes.
And recently they had a Nailbiter Returns. I'm not sure how many issues they're at, but I've started reading the first trade. And reading the first issue, it was like I was just right back in that universe again. Like, I was thinking that maybe I wouldn't like it just because I felt I had an ending and all that kind of stuff, you know? But yeah, basically it's like copycats of the original Buckaroo Killers there. And they're killing off, people dressed like the original ones. Like those are the people getting murdered by these copycat ones. And it has, like, the Nailbiter in it again and stuff, like all the old characters. But it's, I've only read the first issue, so I don't really know what's going on yet. But yeah, I'm sucked right back into that. I've been trying to reread stuff that, you know, just to see if I like it still, like if I've changed over time, I guess, a bit too. Like, I don't know if you remember, but I was pretty crazy about the Avatar comics.
I mean, this is going way back for me, but when Alan Moore was doing those Lovecraft books, I really, Providence series, I really like that. But I haven't read an Avatar book in... When did that stop? Like a decade ago or something?
Well, I think COVID killed Avatar, the company, because I think in previews they just had trades for sale after that.
Okay.
I don't know if they're doing anything now, but yeah. But up until COVID, they were doing stuff still. But for me, like, Crossed, I was a big Crossed fan, but now I'm ashamed. All the, you know, there's so much rape and, you know, just gross, sick stuff in it. Where it's, you know, I just can't read that stuff as much these days. But one I reread was Ferals, Volume 1 to 3 by David LaPam. And just to see if it, because at the time I remember really liking it, where now Avatar stuff's just not holding up for me. But rereading this, I actually still liked it a lot. And it's basically a werewolf story.
Nice.
The only complaint is, though, it's just too much nudity. Avatar was known for sometimes, you know. And it kind of ruins this really good werewolf story whenever, you know, I'm not a prude or anything, but just it's just too much, you know.
Phil has come around. People would have read this. It's official. The too much nudity. That was hard to say. Well, it fits with your profile.
Savage Dragon scarred me.
We know how much you love Zenoscope, and they don't have any nudity. They just have a lot of suggested nudity.
I don't like them anymore, though. It's been years since I've read one of their comics.
Yes, that's fair.
I liked them when they began, when they were really indie, you know?
Well, that's pretty funny, because the Warrior of Plasm issue was drawn by David Lapham as well.
Oh, yeah, I wanted you to talk about that. Did you read that one?
Yes, the Jim Shooter, David Lapham, Mike Weatherby, Jay Brown, Phil... Okay, so I got this because this is like the title that sunk the company or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know the story behind that.
They got sued by Marvel. Jim Shooter talks about that the trial is over by this when this issue went to print, and they're waiting for the judge's verdict. But
what did they get sued for?
I think it was the title, something about the Plasm character.
Really?
So I was like, or the name, and I was like, well, this must be such a great concept, it's worth getting sued over. And
yeah,
wow, Phil, wow. I mean, okay, this is me as a failing. It took me like 4 times to finish this comic book.
Oh yeah, they're not good. I got mine in the quarter bins too, but I got the whole series at once.
Okay, I might be wrong, as near as I can tell, because the other funny thing is Jim Shooter cut his teeth on this thing at Marvel with everyone's comic as everyone's first. There is no recap in this thing at all. You're just thrown right in. But basically, my understanding is the Plasm Org is this magical world with science or magic or whatever that eats other planets and, you know, takes their resources to feed itself. And part of the... it's run by this emperor, and one of the emperor's minions might be plotting against the emperor. There's some palace intrigue. And he went and he empowered a bunch of regular folk from New Jersey. And they're now, you with their new superpowers in this world of Plasm, trying to figure it out. Like, who can they trust? Like, is this guy, you know, what side should they be on and everything? But you don't get any brief on their powers or anything like that. So a lot of it's just, it's like this word salad. Like, Shooter just has tons of dialogue that just, it's hard from issue 3. Like, I'm just not in it at all.
I remember some of the artwork was hard on the eyes, too.
Well, I like that it's super colorful, at least. That's a plus. But because these, it's these big battle scenes and these characters are so generic, and there's not, you know, they're wearing kind of like jumpsuits. And I was just like, it's not, and I don't know who they are. So in the big battle that starts the issue, I don't know which, I know there's one character, Mrs. J, because every third panel has Mrs. J this and Mrs. J that, with the people talking to her.
That's the Professor X. That's why they're getting sued.
So it's, yeah, it was just, I don't know, reading this dialogue, and I'm sure if you were in the moment, it held you, but I kept putting it down. I'm like, no, Andy, you gotta, you know, put on your big boy pants and toughen through this. And I just don't get the, like, there's loads of concepts where, like, aliens empower Earthlings, and there's palace intrigue among the alien, the superior alien civilization. It doesn't seem like this is any kind of concept that I would go to war over, and the name Plasm is fine, but again, I'm not, is this really such an awesome concept? But it just made me laugh that Shooter grew, you know, drove in this everyone's comic as someone first, and then he has this dreary, dense, not explaining anybody character piece. But I do will say the Dark Dominion looks interesting. That's the one that Steve Ditko did the concept art from them. Oh. And they did trading cards. And I'm like, boy, that's what... But I just saw this at random in a quarter box and had to get what the title that Jim Shooter had to have to stop. And I'm like, wow, this thing is... it's not awful, but it's pretty... It's a generic 90s book, like...
Well, that wasn't a great company.
Yeah, I don't know... I think
if there was anything I...
I mean, honestly, it's Ditko's involvement that makes me curious about the Dark. Yeah. I mean, he didn't draw the thing, but I guess he worked on some of the art for the Zero issue that made into trading cards. And I'm like, boy, maybe I'll have to hunt the cards down or that issue down.
Yeah, I think Defiant, yeah, they kind of did the card thing like Image, where they would put out the card set before the comics come out, and then the comics wouldn't come out.
Well, please feel free to mercilessly mock me for not appreciating the genius of Warriors of Plasm number 3, dear listeners. Make comments. You can tweet me.
I don't
tweet
think it would be a loved series. I can't be in a loved series.
But it's a it's just such a, this is worth betting the company on. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't just be like, yeah, whatever, we'll stop. We'll change it to Warriors of Plasmic or whatever, you know. Yeah. But Jim Shooter held his ground, Phil.
Yeah. I guess that was because I guess that ended the company after that.
Maybe it was the implosion or whatever, but some people purport that this lawsuit, you know, drained money and resources blah, blah, blah. But all I know is that it wasn't, maybe it'd been built up too much as like something you're going to put all your eggs in that basket. But yeah, it's just, and I've read plenty of Shooter, but it's just such a generic concept. I don't know. I don't mean to pile on poor Warriors of Plasm, but I don't get it, Phil.
No.
And I thought you're like a 90s guy. Maybe you'd be like, oh, you buffoon. Well, you missed the subtle.
Like I said, I have them, but I couldn't get through them either. I never made it to 3. I looked at the cover. That's it.
Dang. I was going to send this to you as well, but I guess you already have it.
Yeah, no. I'm good there. It's too bad they didn't have more indie comics in that quarter bin, because that used to be where I found awesome indie comics.
Yeah, they had some, but I wasn't sure how much. I thought it was actually a dollar bin, because those, you know, books from the 40s, like, normally, even ripped up or whatever, like, there just aren't that many of them left any. And they were complete. Oh, my, they had a cover. The cover was torn off of the first appearance of Banshee from the X-Men, which is a decent book.
Yeah.
I was like, boy, I wish they'd kept that cover on that one.
Yeah, it's always sad to see.
But
I don't like reading a comic without a cover. Like, I just don't.
No, as a kid, I went to some store that did that, but I don't. I'm not into coverless comics.
I had a friend that used to do the punch hole thing and then put them in a binder. I hated that too.
Well, I guess he didn't lose them on the plus side. Just lost all their value with holes punched out inside.
And you lose the artwork and some writing, you know?
Yeah, that's no good at all. But yeah, I just had my fun little quarter box adventures at the store. Yeah, they had some other ones, but, you know, you're trying to limit. Like I said, I didn't know how much. And also, you know, I need to drag a bunch of paper back to my house. Like, I need a hole in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you, I'm trying to do digital as much as possible.
But it'll make a fun. Someone's going to get Warriors of Plasm number 3 in the mail, Phil. I don't know who, but.
I don't know. I feel like I'm confident in saying you're the last person on this earth to ever pick an issue of Warriors of Plasm number 3. I'm very confident in saying that.
Yeah, but other people must need that in their collection, Phil.
That's the last copy that wasn't in the trash, and you got it.
Someone's looking to finish that, the Defiant collection.
And I could send you the rest of them.
No.
And I have the Christmas special.
How dare you? If you're just going to insult me on this thing, we don't need to keep. But yeah, it was just fun. You know, it's a nice store. I just don't get to it because it's kind of far out in the other direction.
Yeah, but it's nice to have a store like that you can visit once in a while. You know, it makes it a good treat.
And they have a big wall of books. Like, I did pick up some current books as well, which was nice, some fun stuff. But I might save those.
But, you're going to say,
yeah. Well, they had one, which I guess is a second printing, Animal Castle from Ablaze. Okay. I guess that came out last year, the year before, but it's like this, you know, all the animals are running the show. You know, like Animal Farm. In fact, that's what they specifically reference. Xavier Dorison and Philippe Delip. And yeah, it just was really striking art. And I got some other ones. But I just had like a nice, you know, nice indie collection, which was good. I'm always looking for stores that carry all that stuff. But my eyes just kind of glazed over at the... I got to get back into Marvel and DC. It's just hard when you're out of it for a while. Like, to get back in the mix.
I know. I'm out of... I haven't read Marvel or DC in a few months. Like, I'm really behind. And so, I'm like, now I'm kind of like... I just stopped collecting some certain series and stuff. And so, I'm just waiting for a point I can jump back in again.
Well, it's also hard when you know, like, the second you walk out of the store, that comic's value drops to effectively zero. You know?
Like, yeah. That's why, I'm trying to change the way I collect completely.
Yeah, you're like, do I want to drop this $4, $5, $6, $7 yeah. or for something that's essentially going to be burned into the, you know, might yeah. as well buy a cheeseburger or whatever. I'll get so the thing.
That Dark Dominion comic went 10 issues, and it was done by Steve Ditko the whole time.
Really? Because I thought he was just doing a little, but I'm going to definitely check out some of that. Because I saw some guy on Twitch, Phil Twitch. I was on Twitch, can you believe it? Some kid was going through cards, and he had some there. And I was like, oh my God, that's from Defiant. Because he didn't know where they were from. And then I guess the old DC cards had quizzes on the back, so he was quizzing me.
Okay.
I failed most of the quizzes. I got to say, they had some real trick questions. And the other thing is those, it's the continuity as of 92 or 93, whenever the card came out.
Yes, I'd be good at that probably.
So if something changed between now and then or you forgot what was then, you're doomed.
Doomed.
But I wonder, I think, Phil, I'll let you get the last word in, but I think we're going to trim this baby down a little bit. Keep it short and sweet.
Yeah, no, that's all I got for today.
All right, listeners. Hopefully this will motivate me to get to editing. But stay safe out there, and thanks for listening. Oh, there's no Steve to say later.